Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now in Job chapter 32, verses 1 through 22. I will call this chapter Elihu Rebukes Job's Three Friends. Now, we're going to see as we continue here that this new person in the argument is not only going to rebuke Job's three friends, he's also going to rebuke Job. He's going to take sort of a middling position. He's going to say, you three friends have not proven that Job has done anything wrong to deserve all his suffering. You have failed miserably. But you, Job, on the other hand, in presenting your case to God, been a little bit cheeky, a little bit presumptuous, and you shouldn't have done it. And basically, Elihu's right. He doesn't have the answer to why Job is suffering. But he's right in that the three friends have not proven their case against Job, as I've already mentioned going through this. No, they haven't. They haven't come close. Too much evidence that Job was a righteous man. And I've sort of lightly touched on the fact that Job was a little bit blunt with God as he spoke through his pain and anger. I tended to discount criticism against Job because of his pain and anger, and I still do. But Elihu's going to get on him for being presumptuous. So we start now in Job 32, verses 1 through 5. Now these three men, that's Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, Job's three false friends. Then these three men ceased answering Job, because he was righteous in his own eyes. But the anger of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite of the family of Ram, burned. Against Job his anger burned, because he justified himself before God. And his anger burned against his three friends because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now Elihu had waited to speak to Job because they were years older than he. And when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of the three men, his anger burned. Now we see in verse 1 that the three false friends had just shut up. They had ceased answering Job. Why? Because Job was righteous in his own eyes. They realized that they weren't going to move Job from his position. They may have realized that Job had whipped them in argument, is my suggestion. They might have realized, well, he's beat us. Nothing more we can say. Or it could be, as John Gill says, that the three friends thought that Job was too stiff-necked and stubborn to listen to reason, and the three friends thought that they had reason and that they had presented a reasonable case, but Gill was too stupid and ignorant and stubborn to listen to reason. Well, whatever the reason, they were still convinced they were right. Notice they ceased answering Job because Job was righteous in his own eyes. He was righteous in Job's eyes. To himself, he was righteous. But the three false friends would not acknowledge that Job was righteous also in God's eyes, which he was, as was stated many, many times through the first 31 chapters. So up steps the fourth person who deals with Job, named Elihu. He's angry. Now, why was he angry? A couple of reasons. One is, when Job claimed he was innocent, that was calling God's character into question. Well, that's the same anger that the other three friends had. But Elihu is angry that they didn't answer Job. Well, my response to that is Elihu's not going to answer Job on that question either. So why are you being angry at your three friends for that? At your three elders? They couldn't prove Job was guilty of anything, and you're not going to be able to prove that either. Well, in verse 2, it says the anger of Elihu burned. Burned against two people. Verse 2 was against Job because he had justified himself before God because he said he was innocent. So there Elihu is really on the same ground as the false friends. And then in verse 3, the second reason that Elihu's anger burned was because they hadn't been able to answer Job. So it's not that Elihu believes that the three false friends were wrong. It's that Elihu was angry that they weren't able to convince Job. They had failed in their arguments. Well, the reason they had failed Elihu is because they were wrong. Job was righteous in God's eyes. But Elihu was angry because his friends had mishandled the debate and lost the argument. He says later on in verse 12 in this chapter, 32, Elihu says, I even paid close attention to you, you three friends of Job. Indeed, there was no one who refuted Job. Not one of you answered his words. And Elihu's exactly right about that. So Elihu's angry. He's angry at everybody, the three friends and Job too. Now, who is this Elihu? The NIV Study Bible says about Elihu, he was, quote, the last of Job's challengers to appear. He is the only one with a Hebrew name. It means, he is my God. Elihu means he is my God. He was called a Buzite. Buz was a nephew of Abraham, the son of Abraham's brother Nahor, as we see in Genesis 22, 20 through 21. And so He was probably from the family of Abraham. The name Elihu also belonged to Samuel's great-grandfather, though there is not evidence to connect the two. Well, that's a little tenuous there. But this Elihu seems to be more in line with the ancient Hebrews. If he was a Buzite, he's a descendant of Abraham's nephew. Abraham was born, roughly 1951. I saw one date. I like that date because I was born in 1951 A.D. Abraham, if he was born on this year, again, it's fuzzy, but it's somewhere around that time, 1951 B.C., then Elihu is around the time of Abraham, or around the time of some descendants of Abraham. This is what Adam Clark says about Elihu. Elihu, better acquainted both with human nature and the nature of the divine law and of God's moral government of the world, steps in and makes the proper discrimination, acquits Job on the ground of their accusations, but condemns him for his too great self-confidence and his trusting too much in his external righteousness, and without duly considering his frailty and imperfections, his incautiously arraigning the providence of God of unkindness in its dealings with him. This was the point on which Job was particularly vulnerable and which Elihu very properly clears up. Well, Clark is very easy on Elihu, but I can't help but note that Elihu is angry with Job in verse 2 because Job had justified himself before God. It doesn't say he was angry against Job because he justified himself using too harsh language before God. It says he was angry because he justified himself before God. And that tells me that Elihu still thinks that Job has done something wrong. Well, he's at least going to give up on trying to prove it because Job is not going to budge. Going back to Clark, he says that Elihu condemns Job for his manner in which he defended himself before God, which might seem a little sacrilegious, a little presumptuous. And I think that Clark is right about that. Job was a little bit presumptuous, but I cut him some slack because of all the pain he was in. But Clark does not mention that Elihu still seems to be thinking that Job has done something to deserve this punishment because his anger burned against Job because Job justified himself before God. And I don't see why we can condemn Job for justifying himself before God because Job had done nothing wrong. Now, I need to state here that perhaps Elihu implies that he is complaining about Job's manner in answering God when he says he's angry at Job because Job justified himself before God. And it's implied he justified himself before God in an unrighteous manner. That is possible, in which case Elihu would not think that Job had done anything awful in order to receive such suffering as Job had experienced. I think that's possible, but I don't think that's what is going on. I think that Elihu still, deep down inside, thinks that Job has done something wrong to provoke all of his suffering. He's not going to be able to find it or get Job to admit it, but he's going to give up on that. Now, this Elihu is the son of Barachel the Buzite. Barachel means God blesses, as Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown says. And those commentators also say that the meanings of Elihu, God is with us, or God is with me, and Barachel, God blesses, both of those names indicate the piety of Elihu's family. So we can probably assume that Elihu is speaking with a good heart. He's trying to figure this thing out, and he loves God. Now, Elihu is said to be the son of Barachel, who is a Buzite. So, what is Buz, the land of Buz? Well, that actually can be located. Easton's dictionary has it a district in Arabia Petraea. Arabia Petraea is the Sinai Peninsula. You go across the Gulf of Aqaba, you get a little piece of Midian there, a little piece of the desert to the east of the Gulf of Aqaba, then you go north to Petra, and that is Arabia Petraea, as the Romans called it. Now, where in Arabia Petraea was Buz? Well, if we read in Jeremiah 25:23, we can see this, Dedan, Tema, Buz. So Dedan, Tema, and Buz are all mentioned together. Dedan and Tema are located, actually, on the eastern side of the Gulf of Aqaba, in the Jordanian desert there, in Arabia Petraea. That was in ancient Edom. And since Dedan and Tema and Buz are all listed in one breath in Jeremiah 25:23, we can assume that Buz is in the same area as Dedan and Tema. Remember, Tema is where Eliphaz is from, one of the false friends, Eliphaz the Temanite. So in verse 3, Elihu is angry at the false friends because they found no answer to Job, and yet he condemned Job. It's one thing to think Job is innocent, but don't condemn somebody when you haven't proven your case, and they hadn't proven their case. They just dumped a bunch of bile on Job's head. No wonder Elihu was angry at the three friends. I've gotten angry at him just going through this book. Now, verse 4 says, Elihu had waited to speak to Job because they were years older than he. The they is the three false friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. They were years older than Job, and Elihu is younger than all of them. Eliphaz says in Job 15:10, both the gray-haired and the aged are among us, older than your father. So Eliphaz has already noted that the three friends are older than Job, and Elihu is pointing it out too. That was the reason he had deferred to the other three guys and let them speak first. But verse 5, when Elihu saw there was no answer in the mouth of the three men, his anger burned. So we go down to Job 32, verses 6 through 10. So Elihu, the son of Barachel the Buzite, spoke out and said, I am young in years, and you are old. Therefore I was shy and afraid to tell you what I think. I thought age should speak, and increased years should teach wisdom. But it is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. The abundant in years may not be wise, nor may elders understand justice. So I say, listen to me, I too will tell what I think. Well, Elihu was afraid to say what he thought. As Adam Clark says, among the Asiatics, the youth never spoke in the presence of the elders, especially on any subject of controversy. That's still even true today in our egalitarian society. Elihu says in verse 8, there's a spirit in man. And then he says, the breath of the Almighty gives man understanding. So Elihu is either saying that man's reason, his spirit, his reason as well as illumination of the Holy Spirit, the breath of the Almighty, the spirit of the Almighty, two spirits, the spirit of man, the spirit of the Almighty, will give you understanding. I think that's probably what it is. The other option is, verse 8, but it is the Holy Spirit in man and the breath of the Almighty that gives me understanding. It gives man understanding, and of course, Elihu is referring to himself. So what he would be saying then is, the Holy Spirit is telling me I'm a prophet, Job, I'm going to tell you the answer. I think that would be pretty cheeky for Elihu to do, especially being such a young man. I just think he's saying, look, I'm using my reason, and my reason is being illuminated by the Holy Spirit, the breath of the Almighty, and I'm going to tell you what the problem is here. John Gill agrees with the proposition that Elihu was speaking both of the human faculties of reason and wisdom, as well as the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Here's what Gill says, because it is in every man, the spirit of man, whereby he has knowledge of many things, natural and divine, and particularly is capable of trying and judging things, of discerning the difference between one thing and another, and of reasoning and discoursing upon them. And this being observed by Elihu, and he being conscious to himself of having such a spirit in him, was emboldened to engage in the debate, though a young man. But if such a spirit is meant, the words may be rendered to such a sense, verily, truly, indeed, there is such a rational spirit in man, which makes him capable of knowing many things. So Gill, in his prolix 19th century fashion, is just basically saying that spirit is the reason of man. Well, even if we take this as being the reason in man, Elihu still gives credit to the Holy Spirit. The very next verse, he says, and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. That's the spirit of the Almighty, breath of spirit. Adam Clark says, concerning verse 8, in this one saying, Elihu spoke more sense and sound doctrine than all Job's friends did in the whole of the controversy. That's really true. He's showing a little bit more wisdom. He says, verse 9, the abundant in years may not be wise. Ooh, he's whacking the three false friends of Job's who were abundant in years. They were older, and he's trying to say, Elihu is, that whether he is old or young, is immaterial. Elihu can shed light on the argument, either through the spirit of prophecy or the spirit of prophecy together with reason. Either way, he claims to be a divinely commissioned messenger. Job, he says in the next chapter, chapter 33, verse 6, Elihu is speaking here. He says, behold, I belong to God like you. I too have been formed out of the clay. So he is basically trying to say, I'm speaking for God. And then in the next chapter, 33, verses 23 through 24, Elihu says this, if there is an angel as mediator for him, one out of a thousand to remind a man what is right for him. And of course, he's speaking of himself as a mediator. One out of a thousand mediators, that's Elihu. Verse 24, Job 33, Job, be gracious to this mediator, to me, Elihu, and say, deliver him from going down to the pit, I have found a ransom. In other words, Job, say to me, Elihu, don't go down to the pit. I, Job, have found some treasure. wisdom from you. So Elihu is very confident of what he's saying. He is confident that his words are coming from God. We go now to Job 32:11-14. Elihu continues, "Look, I waited for your conclusions." He's talking to the three friends now. "I listened to your insights as you sought for words. I paid close attention to you. Yet no one proved Job wrong. Not one of you refuted his arguments. So do not claim we have found wisdom. Let God deal with him, not man. But Job has not directed his argument to me, and I will not respond to him with your arguments." Now, in verse 12, when Elihu says that not one of you three false friends refuted his arguments, we could take that as saying that Job won the argument. The three false friends didn't refute the arguments because Job had the better argument. But that's probably not true. As I've already said, Elihu didn't think Job was right. He just thought that the three false friends didn't do a good job in refuting Job. And he was exactly right about that. No one had refuted Job. Well, let's think about Elihu here a little bit. Are you going to complain to the three false friends because they didn't refute Job's arguments? Well, you're not going to refute his arguments either, Job's arguments. You're not going to refute Job. So I think Elihu is being just a little bit uppity here. So Elihu says to the three false friends, "Don't say we have found wisdom." What could he mean by that? Well, he could be saying, "Don't say that we friends have found a way to refute Job," or as the NASB puts it, to rout Job. "We couldn't convince him." Don't say that you have found a way to convince him because you haven't convinced him. So let me say that again. Don't say that we have found wisdom. That could mean that the three friends are referring to their previous arguments in the previous 30 chapters or so, in which the false friends say that God punishes the unrighteous. Job has been punished, therefore he is unrighteous. Don't say that, because that's not a wise argument, because Job shows that he has been a righteous man. So don't use those arguments, three false friends. Or it could be that Elihu tells the three false friends, "Hey, false friends, don't say that you found wisdom. Here's the wisdom that we have found, that we false friends have found. We're just going to leave him alone and let God deal with him because we're tired of arguing with him." I'm not really sure what was meant there, whether they're bragging about their previous arguments or whether they're bragging about their new strategy of just being passive-aggressive, just backing off and say, "Let God leave him in the dirt there so he can pick his boils. We're not going to argue with him anymore." And Elihu's saying, don't do that. Don't just leave him there unanswered. And don't rely on your previous arguments. Either way, you haven't beaten him. But verse 14, "But Job has not directed his argument to me, so I am now getting ready to beat him. And I will not respond to him," Elihu says, "with your arguments, because your arguments haven't worked." And we're going to see that mostly Elihu's arguments are going to complain about Job's manner of talking with God, not whether he was righteous or not, not whether he committed some secret sin, although I'm sure Elihu thought he had. Verse 14, "But Job has not directed his argument to me," Elihu says. That's the Holman Christian Study Bible. Other translations, NIV, "Job has not marshaled his argument to me." The KJV has directed, as so does the Holman Christian Study Bible. "Job has not directed his argument to me." The NASB, "Job has not arranged his argument to me." The NIV, "marshaled his argument." It gives the idea of a debate, an argument, more than merely a direction where Job's words are going. Now, in verse 14, Elihu says, "I will not respond to Job with your arguments, three false friends." As John Gill says, Elihu is now trying a new tack with Job. Elihu doesn't accuse Job of any sins before the afflictions start, but Elihu accuses Job of behaving improperly after the afflictions start. Elihu is going to say that Job has impugned the honor and justice of God. And Elihu was basically right about that. We will see that God never chastised Elihu in chapter 42 like he chastised the three friends. So we're going to assume that Elihu is right about criticizing Job in the way he responded to God. But Elihu still does not come up with the basic problem of why is Job suffering, which is, of course, the main problem of the book. Also, we need to note that Elihu uses his arguments against Job in a milder and gentler manner, because the three false friends were brutal, especially Zophar. They were just brutal with Job. So Elihu is not only going to respond with the three false friends' theologically bogus arguments, he's also going to respond in a nicer manner. He doesn't say he will do that, but he will, as we will see. We go now to Job 32, verses 15 through 20. Elihu turns to Job and says, "They," referring to the three false friends, "they are dismayed. They no longer answer. Words have failed them. Shall I wait because they do not speak, because they stop and no longer answer? I too will answer my share. I also will tell my opinion, for I am full of words. The spirit within me constrains me. Behold, my belly is like unvented wine, like new wineskins. My belly is about to burst. Let me speak that I may get relief. Let me open my lips and answer. Now notice how Elihu switches to the third person. He's been talking straight to the three friends, and then he turns away from him, talks to Job, and says, they. Now, Jameson Fawcett Brown says that's a dismissive technique, switching to the third person. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how else he could have done it. He could have continued to talk to the three friends and said, Job, he. Well, that's putting Job in the third person. So that would be dismissing Job. So I don't know about that, but he does point out that the three false friends are silent. Words have failed them. Well, Job, you're not finished with your cross-examination because I'm going to step in and fill the void. I will tell you my opinion. I am full of words. Adam Clark says that Elihu is full of sayings, proverbs. I don't know about that. John Gill said that Eastern wisdom consisted of many proverbs. I don't think that Elihu is going to be using proverbs. I think he's just going to be using words. So I'm not going to go along with that. Verse 18, Elihu says, the spirit within me constrains me. Now that could be the human spirit, the NASB. I think most of the translations put a little less there. The spirit, his mind, in other words, constrains me to speak, forces me to speak. I got to speak. If it's the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God within me constrains me to speak to you, Job, then Elihu, if he meant that, he was being pretty presumptuous. I don't think he did mean that. He said his belly is like unvented wine, like you put wine in a wineskin and you don't let the top off, and it ferments. Oh my gosh. It'll start releasing gases which will burst the wineskin. He could have said like old wineskins it's about to burst, because old wineskins are more likely to burst than new wineskins. Well, I think that Elihu used new wineskins in the point of his analogy, because he's saying even if new wineskins would burst if they felt the pressure, old wineskins would burst even more. In other words, his stomach normally would be like a new wineskin that could handle new wine, could handle that fermentation, but no, there's so much fermentation going on that the new wineskin can't handle it, even though it's supposed to handle it. And his stomach is like a new wineskin about to blow up. I got to speak. Got to get relief, he says in verse 20. We go now to Job 32, verses 21 through 22, and we will be finished with this chapter. Elihu says, let me now be partial to no one, nor flatter any man, for I do not know how to flatter, else my maker would soon take me away. So Elihu is claiming to be an impartial arbiter here. There are several ways Elihu could be partial, as John Gill points out. He could be partial towards Job, feeling pity for Job because of Job's poverty and affliction. He could have been partial toward the three false friends because of their wealth and status. But no, he's not going to do that. He's going to be right down the middle, objective. He says, I do not know how to flatter, else my maker would soon take me away. And what he means by take away, he means kill him. Even God would kill me if I were not objective. And if I flattered somebody, God would kill me. So Elihu is speaking big words here for a young man. We are now finished with Job chapter 32. We are now prepared to go to Job 33 in our next chapter, and we will see Elihu rebuking Job. So Job is going to have to deal with more subtle arguments now. So we'll see how Job fares in this rebuke from Elihu in chapter 33. I hope you stay tuned for that audio, and I hope you enjoyed this one.